I'm here with Ron. He's the secretary of the Vintage Motorcycle Club, Isle of Wight section. Ron, how's the event going today?
It's very successful so far. We were hoping for a few more, but at 58 entries, a very wide selection of machines, right from early 1900s up until the late 1990s. So a bit representative of just about everything there is around to be had. All eligible machines for the Vintage Motorcycle Club, they have to be over 25 years old. And yeah, very good selection, including a few racing type machines as well in amongst them.
Oh, lovely. Well, let's go and talk about those racing type machines in a moment.
Yeah.
Have you got a motorcycle yourself?
Yes, there's actually three here that belong to me.
Do you want to talk us through what you've got?
Yeah, there's a 1935 Levis 350, which is
I've just
yonder.
Seen that one. We were remarking on how beautiful that is.
Right, okay. Thank you very much. Locally restored by a chap who lives in Sandown. And then the next one is a 1961 Triumph 500, Tiger 100.
Which can you describe it to us?
It's
colour, the look.
Yeah, fine. Yeah, it's in a rather attractive grey and black, silver grey and black. It's a bit unusual in as far as it's still got something which was referred to as a bathtub fairing, which is below the rear seat and covers the rear wheel. Most of those, when they were sold, after a couple of years, they became owned by the racing lads of the time, and they immediately discarded those fairings, complete with a beautiful valance front mudguard, put aluminium mudguards on them and went pseudo racing around the local lanes.
Yeah.
So finding one with a bathtub fairing on is not very usual these days. So that's the second one I've got here. And the third one I've got here is a 1982 baby Suzuki 100cc, called a GP100, in an attractive blue. And that has got a bit of history in as far as many years ago, starting in 1980, I used to run the Isle of Wight Motorcycle Training Scheme, and I did that for 30 years. And for about 20 years of that, that little Suzuki was one of our training bikes.
Oh, I see.
So I knew it from those days.
Yeah.
It then became redundant, sold to a private owner, went through several owners, and when I saw it for sale again, I thought, can't resist it. So I picked it up and it's now mine again.
So your three babies are here. Do you keep them in a, you know, a warmed up, very insulated, lovely building?
No.
Oh, okay.
Most people do.
Yeah.
They're in obviously a secure building in as far as the buildings are made of metal and bricks and things. But unfortunately, unless you've got lots of money to throw around, making them totally warm and damp proof is difficult.
Yeah.
But I do make an effort to try and keep them free from corrosion and well-oiled and whatever else. So there are three of a collection of I have. We won't go into numbers, but I've got about six which are actually roadworthy, and we'll go as far as that.
What about the rest? Go on, tell us what's your magic number. How many bikes do you think you've got in total?
I'll go as far as to say it goes into two figures.
Gosh, so what inspired you? You know.
I have been a motorcyclist ever since the age of 14,
yeah,
riding around the local fields. And then at the age of 16, I actually had enough money just about to buy the first motorcycle. And I've never been without a motorcycle ever since.
And what do the older, more vintage ones? So you've got the 1935?
The oldest one I've got here is a 1935.
Yeah.
I have got one at home, which is a 1932. A make called a New Imperial, which not too many people know about. And that actually is the same model and the same make as the very first motorcycle I had. So I just had to have another one just for nostalgia's sake.
Yeah, because there's a lot of nostalgia, isn't there? You look at these gorgeous machines,
yeah,
with their real beautiful, you know, shiny metal. You've got your number plates on the front wheel arch.
That's right, yeah.
And, you know, the polish and the shine of them. They're works of art, aren't they, really? Well,
we like
pieces.
To think so, yeah. Anyone with an appreciation of motorcycles can really see what the good points of them are. When you mention that front number plate, when you look at some of the machines here which have got front number plates on, you can see why they were actually banned at one time. You weren't allowed to have a number plate on the front mudguard in the position which you now see them, because they were obviously seen as a danger to life and limb.
Most definitely.
Like a bacon slicer almost, you know, if it hits you at speed.
Yeah.
But now that has been cast aside. I think if you went strictly down the road, it would still be illegal. But having said that, when you look at the one which is just behind it, it has a nice chromium thick edge to it, which takes the lethal aspect away from it.
And so this behind us is a Triumph.
That's a Triumph, yeah.
Do we know what year it is? So it's black,
yes,
Triumph.
We can find.
Gorgeously shiny.
It's
1959.
Yeah.
And it's got its dials on the, what would you call this? The steering rack.
That's the nacelle, which holds all its instruments and its headlamp. And it's almost a trademark from the Triumph of those ages.
Yeah. It's like an aviator dial, isn't it?
It's very, quite technical in as far as it shows the speed in various gears as you work your way from first up to fourth or fifth gear. It shows what speed you will be doing at that particular speed at revs.
Yeah.
Or in that gear. Also shows the amount of charge coming out of the ammeter, and of course your ignition switch. And it's all enclosed in that one rather pretty looking nacelle.
Yeah, with its lovely big headlights.
Oh yes, they're sometimes of dubious strength. Many bikes, especially the early ones that only had 6-volt systems, the headlamps, you had to have a torch with you just to see if the headlamp was working. But otherwise, yeah, they serve their purpose for the most part. The number of manufacturers we got here, I haven't actually counted, but obviously the obvious ones are the Triumphs, BSAs, AJS we can see in front of us here. There's also one or two more unusual ones. We have something there which is a German two-stroke machine.
Yeah.
I've forgotten the letters offhand. It's almost a copy of a BMW.
Okay. Oh, IFA?
That's right. IFA is the manufacturer.
Wow. These are so evocative of an age gone by, aren't they? You know, of...
Oh, yes.
Pre-war to then post-war to Steve McQueen to the... the nostalgia that you get from being amongst these bikes is wonderful.
Yes. A lot of people discount motorcycles as being something which is maybe even a bit dangerous, and they can be very dangerous, but it's the rider who makes the decision to make them dangerous, not the bikes themselves, as indeed for cars. But they do suffer a bit from riders who forget what they've got within their power. But it does show over the years, as you suggested, the development of these machines. When you go back to the very early ones here, which go back to about 1914, I think, when the electrics were very dubious, and in some cases they had just enough electrics to produce a spark which made the engine work, and that was about it. We've got 3 or 4 here which didn't actually have gears as such. They were direct drive from the engine through to the back wheel, relying either on a push start and jump on it to catch it up, or some form of clutch control. And then we go on to the later ones, which have 5 and 6 speed gearboxes, and beautiful clutch control and all the rest of it.
Can you talk to me about your racing bikes then,
section over here? Oh yes, we have the racing machines.
OK. Okay.
Right, we got the larger one is a very... Hello, Andrew. All right.
Yeah, I bought
I'm being interviewed at the moment.
Oh, well, you can.
Ron's a popular man.
Yeah. Yes, we have obviously the Ducati,
yeah.
A little racing 250 machine, yeah. Which actually does is still in used as a racing machine. I'm not sure. It's owned by Steve Porter of Steve Porter Transport.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm not too sure how much success he has. He has received a lot of awards, either by himself or with a man who races it for him.
Got you, okay.
We've also got another one of his machines, which is a little Honda. A smaller machine, an RS80,
yeah.
Which again has received quite good award systems.
Yeah.
But probably the most remarkable one is a little 50cc Kreidler, Van Veen Kreidler, made on the continent, obviously. And the chap who rides that for him,
yeah.
Has done extremely well and has actually had, I think at one time, received the national championship on that particular little machine.
Gosh, it's tiny, isn't it?
Very, and it's, very mini, mind
what,
you.
Yeah. What's the engine size again?
50cc.
50cc?
Yeah.
The wheels are... Well, it's kind of the skeleton. You can see all the workings behind the fascia, can't you?
Oh, it's all there to be seen.
Yeah. 1978 model. Built
for lightness, obviously.
Yeah.
Does achieve quite remarkable speeds.
Yeah.
I mean, even on something like that, you can be looking at 90 miles an hour or something.
Wow.
Now,
oh, gosh.
I have watched it racing.
Yeah.
And quite impressive.
Yeah.
Yeah. We have another one over... The larger Honda over there, which is racing style,
yeah.
And it has raced, but not anymore.
Yeah.
That's purely retained as nostalgia thing again. And going in the other direction, we've also got a beautifully restored Boltaco 250 on the end of the line there.
Yeah.
Again, a make which was very highly thought of and achieved very good results in the trials world years ago,
yeah.
Ridden by people like Sammy Miller and similar.
Yeah.
Now, of course, taken over by companies like GasGas and other Spanish companies.
Okay.
Yeah.
Great. Ron, is there anything else you'd like to mention? Like how, if someone would like to get involved with the Vintage Motorcycle Club,
right?
On the
yes, of course.
Line, how do they get in contact?
Of course. Well, they can contact me, basically. I'm Ron Wallace. They can contact me on my email address, which is ron.wallace, that's W-A-L-L-I-S. So again, that's ron.wallace10, the number 10, at gmail.com.
Yeah.
And I will send them details of how to join the VMCC if they're interested, or just send them the details of what we do.
Yeah.
We do welcome any person to come along to our twice a month meetings, which we hold in at the Eight Bells and at Newport.
Yeah.
We have talks. We've just had a very interesting one from one of our new members, a Mr. Gerald Davison, who came to live on the island about a year ago. And he, for many years, was actually in charge of Honda UK. That's the whole Honda organisation, both as the sales and the racing team. He was in charge of that as well. And he gave us a very interesting talk of his years with that, and he's offered to give us another one in the near future.
Yeah, it's a nice social group.
That's absolutely. Yeah. We usually get around anything between 20 and 35 people to our meetings. In addition to that, every month we have a meet-up with the bikes, and we have a bit of a ride around for perhaps 20, 30 miles, ending up for breakfast. That's on a Sunday.
Yeah.
And then one Tuesday a month, we also do a similar meet-up a little bit later in the day, have again about 20, 30 miles ride, and end up for a lunch. So, we're quite socially involved.
Great.
And also, we organise mainland runs. Five or six times a year, we group up and visit the mainland, sometimes linking up with the mainland section, other times just going off doing our own thing, perhaps a ride around the New Forest or some were a bit farther.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Excellent. Thank you so much, Ron.
Okay, that's
so
fine.
I'm going to go and have a look at all of the beautiful machines.
Well, there's, as I say, there's quite a few here to be looked at.
And the smell of diesel and petrol in the air is...
You won't get much diesel, but mainly petrol.
Petrol,
yeah.
I love it. I just love that smell.
Yeah, there are one or two... we haven't actually got an outstanding one here this year, but normally there's someone enters on what they call the oily rag prize, which would be something which was perhaps has been used for 50 years, never been restored, all its original rust, lack of paint, etc., but still works and is still seen as an original beautiful bit of machinery. And then the under end of the scale, of course, is someone who spent probably thousands of pounds having everything beautifully painted, polished and everything else, and looking better than the day it came out of the showroom.
Yeah.
So, you know, you pay your money, you take your choice.
Yeah. What's your name and where do you live?
Kevin Lynch. We live in Freshwater.
So, Kevin, you're at the vintage motorcycle show this morning. What made you come here?
Oh, to see bikes that I've had in the past, in the 80s, the 70s. I used to be a motorcycle courier in London, and I see some of the bikes in there that I used to have.
Really? Like what? Which one?
The 404s, the Honda, the Kawasaki Z200. Yeah, beautiful bikes.
They are.
And I've got a Kawasaki 500 now.
Yeah.
That I've had for a few years, and I'd like to rebuild it myself. Now I've got the time.
You're feeling inspired then?
Oh yeah, yeah.
Are you a member of the club?
No, not yet. But we've only been here 6 months, so we need to look around.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's some lovely bikes.
This is the dangerous thing, isn't it? You come here, you think, oh, I could just pop a shed up and I'll just get a couple, and then you're sucked into it, which is wonderful. I mean, it's something about keeping these bikes alive, isn't it? You know, they're such a huge part of history, and they're gorgeous machines.
You can play with them, you know. Anything new now, you can't pull about without plugging it in. So same for the cars.
Yeah.
So the old stuff is the better stuff.
So you've had a good morning then.
Love it. Brilliant.
Thanks very much.
Have a good day. Cheers.
I have a quick word.
Yes, of course.
Hello, Tim. Lovely to see you today.
Hello, Laura. Nice to see you too.
So you have been a president of the...
Yes, I was president of the Vintage Motorcycle Club from 2014 to 2016.
Wonderful.
Yes.
And so you're here today, you're judging?
Yes, I'm here judging, my third year.
Right, now tell us, are you judging in categories?
Yes, we've got the pre-1931 category.
Yeah.
Then we have a 1931 to 60, 1960, and 61 to 1994.
And then what are you judging on?
What I like.
Oh, I like that. That's brilliant. It's so subjective,
isn't it? It's very difficult. Some people go on originality and really, really stick to that class. I don't. I go for something that I think someone may have ridden for a while, that looks the part, doesn't actually... looks as though you can actually go out and ride it. Because some of the older stuff, which I enjoy, my preference is pre-war motorcycles, and I mean pre-Second World War. So... I ride them all the time, so I make them so they can ride on modern motes. It's no good having original stuff on these bikes because they're not safe.
Yeah.
It's as simple as that. So,
what would you say then is your favourite type of motorbike? Let's go from
pre-war.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think my favourite. I have two 1920s motorcycles.
Yeah.
One 1937, and I've got my Morgan outside. So I like the late 1920s.
What kind of look is that?
It's usually single cylinder, twin porked head, so you've got two exhaust pipes coming out of a single cylinder, hand change, lever throttle.
Okay.
Nice. It gives you enough to think about while you're on the road. You can concentrate on what's going on around you, which is what you need to be doing all the time, and you can just about keep up with modern traffic.
All right, then, post-pre-war onwards, what would you say?
I had two BMWs for the 22 years I was in my office in London, and I had a R100 RS. which is a sports bike of a BMW. And for what I used it for, it was ideal because it was full fairing, shaft drive, twin cylinders. And I, with the horizontally opposed engine, protection from my legs.
Okay, so next question, are you ready?
Yeah.
Where has been the most interesting place that you've ridden a motorbike? Got any road trips or any hairy, scary roads? Like, you know, Europe, Switzerland's got quite a few scary hairpin bend roads, isn't it?
I've been to Norway. Yeah. I've been to Eastern Europe. I've been to Ireland. They've all got their fascination. I like where I live. I live in Sussex. I live near Gatwick Airport. And I find just the country lanes are my playground.
Yeah.
So, and you'll find that anywhere in the world. If you're of a mind, you'll find a road that you'll enjoy.
Yeah. It's a sense of freedom, isn't it? Get
it
on your
is.
Bike
yes,
and just
right.
off
yes,
you go.
Yes. And even with our overpopulated areas in the southeast, you can still find the quiet piece of road where you can have a bit of fun on.
Yeah,
so
wind in your hair.
Yeah, that's right. If I had any hair, yes, it'd be lovely. Yeah.